Can you hear me?
Amen.
I'm going to ask that you stand on your feet with me and let's pray before we get this word. Amen. Our precious Father, as I come before your throne this morning, Lord, I come humbled in my spirit this morning, Lord, just thanking you and exalting you, Lord, and just recognizing, Lord, that you want all of me, Lord. Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that as I yield this vessel over to you, Lord, I pray that you use me, Lord, to however you may see fit, Father. I pray right now, Lord, that every heart is open, every ear is open and ready to receive from you this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as your word goes out, Lord, that they will not return back void, that they will go out and do what they are sent out to do. Now, Father, I thank you for everyone that's here today and those that are not here, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you send your spirit right now and just touch them, Lord. And we thank you for each and every one of them. And I ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, let's confess the word of God. Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am.
I am.
What it says I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
What it says I can do.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
Not just a hearer.
Not just a hearer.
In my life.
In my life.
Is the better.
Is the better.
After having heard.
After having heard.
The word of faith.
The word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by.
And hearing by.
The word of God.
The word of God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. You can be seated. On today, I'm going to start us off in a new series. And the new series is simply titled God-Type Faith.
Amen.
God-Type Faith. And as I was praying about this particular series, I got a picture came to my mind about one of the great stories in the Bible, taken out of Mark chapter 11, which is going to be our foundational text for this entire series. If you would turn there with me to Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, and over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to have this God-type faith. Amen?
Amen.
Mark chapter 11, and I'm just kind of going to kind of go over the story a little bit. And there's one particular verse that I'm going to key in on today. But this story in Mark chapter 11 help paint this picture that in Jesus' ministry, Mark chapter 11, when they got close to Jerusalem, and they ended up in a place called Bethany, and as Jesus was with his disciples, he asked them to do a couple of things. One was to go to this place and find a colt and tell them to unloose the colt so that he can ride into town on it. So as they go and do what Jesus asked them to do, on their way from Bethany to Jerusalem, Jesus sees this fig tree far off. And as he approached this fig tree, he sees the leaves on the fig tree. But as he gets there, there's no figs on the tree. So it's then that Jesus curses this tree and says that no man shall eat of this tree forever. So they continue on their journey from Bethany to Jerusalem. And then Jesus goes into the temple and he addresses the extortion that was taking place in the temple. And he begins to turn over tables and drive out all those folks that was corrupting God's house. Amen. And he tells them that my father's house is a house of prayer. I will not allow you to make it into a den of thieves. So he drives them all out. And
as he's leaving Jerusalem and he's heading back to Bethany, the disciples see the tree, and Peter says, Jesus, the tree that you cursed the other day is dried up at his root. Amen? It's dried up at his root. And in verse 20, he says, now, I'm going to start there. It says, now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, and this is our key verse, have faith in God.
Yes.
Have faith in God. Amen. And when you read this in the original language, have faith in God means have God-type faith.
Amen.
Amen. God-type faith. And I thought about, what is God-type faith? Or it also reads, have the faith of God.
Yes.
Amen. And I thought, what is God-type faith? Well, God-type faith is believing to receive those things that you say.
Amen.
For instance, when God spoke in the beginning of time, in Genesis chapter 1, it says that the earth was void and formless, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, light be, and light appear. Amen? That's God type faith.
Amen.
He spoke it, and there it was.
Yes.
Amen? That's the type of faith that we're talking about. Have that kind of faith. Have that type of faith that when you say something out of your mouth, when you release it out of your mouth,
Amen.
You believe to receive it at that point.
Amen.
That's God type faith. When, as soon as you say it, I believe it. I believe to receive it.
Yes.
As soon as it comes out of my mouth.
Amen.
Now, as the pastor of this growing church,
Amen.
I it's amazing how often I encounter people who think they're in faith when they're not. See, so the purpose of this series is to one, define what faith is. Amen. Define what is faith. Amen. How to release it. And how to, by faith, overcome the challenges of life.
Amen.
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 So we're going to define faith. We're going to learn how to release it.
Mm-hmm.
And how to, by faith, overcome the challenges of life. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you will, go to 1 John towards the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 5. Let me know when you get there. 1 John chapter 5.
Amen.
God type faith. 1 John chapter 5.
Amen.
Amen. We're there? Verse number 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Amen. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. Now, this passage clearly reveals that it is the will of God for us to overcome the problems and challenges of life by releasing our faith.
Amen.
Amen. However, if faith is not clearly taught, many people will go down the tube thinking they're in faith when they're not.
Yeah.
Amen. Many people will become frustrated with the church. They'll become frustrated with God because they feel that God is not keeping his word. Mm. But the reality is that the truth is that they are not performing the word as it is instructed in the Bible. So it is for this reason that I believe that the most important lesson any believer could learn or needs to understand after your salvation is the lesson of faith.
Amen.
Amen. It's clearly revealed in the Bible that the promises of God, the will of God, amen, will only come to pass in our lives if we walk by faith and as we exercise our faith on a day-to-day basis.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe in miracles, but miracles are not God's best.
Come on.
See, many people classify you as a fanatic, amen, because of their belief in miracles. Now, I'm not a fanatic, amen, but I believe in spectacular miracles, but I also know that God's best is that you and I mature in our faith.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And as you develop your faith to the point where the will of God is coming to pass in your life on a day-to-day basis, you will have no need for the spectacular manifestations that everybody's looking for.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about. Amen. See, now is faith really important? Is faith really important? Well, the Bible says, I'm going to give you some scripture today, so please bear with me, okay? We're going to lay this foundation down for us. So I'm going to have you turn with me to Romans chapter 1 as we lay this foundation down and look at verse number 17. Is faith really important? Verse number 17, are you there? Romans chapter 1.
Amen.
Verse 17, I'm going to give you a scripture today. I hope you don't mind. I just want to verify what I'm talking about today with us. Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 1, verse number 17 reads, for in it, let me start at verse number 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
So if the just, those who have been declared righteous, shall live by faith, obviously, faith is important in the Christian life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by what?
Sight.
Amen. Now, in that particular chapter and verse, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, in that particular passage, the word walk refers to a lifestyle. All right. So it is in essence that we have a lifestyle of faith that is a lifestyle that we're walking after the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
We're walking by faith. We have a lifestyle that's displaying that we're walking by faith by the word of God, after the word of God. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. And him who comes to God must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yes.
Am I right? Now, so it's clear from that scripture that if I'm not in faith, I will not please God. Faith is so important in our spiritual growth because it is the mechanism God has, you know, he's given where we can tap into the spiritual realm that is above and beyond the world of our five physical senses.
Right, right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so crucial is living by faith to the process of knowing and experiencing God that without spiritual growth, it's impossible. That without it, spiritual growth is impossible.
Right.
Amen. Since the absence of faith means we are displeasing rather than pleasing God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't misunderstand. When I refer to the action of faith, I don't mean the kind of Christian experience in which you have to do it all yourself.
Mm-hmm.
See, and one of the principles that I hope that you get out of this series is the truth that the Christian life is not a matter of your self-effort.
Mm-hmm. That's
amen.
Right. That's right.
Neither is faith a magic wand that we can wave over our circumstances and manipulate God, you know, to make him do our will.
Right, right.
Amen. See, a lot of these television preachers will will make you think that all you have to do is claim something by faith and then God is obligated to give it to you.
Come on.
Amen. They say, and then they say, well, if you don't get the miracle, it's because you are weak, too weak in faith.
Come on now.
See, faith does link us to the supernatural resources of God,
right,
but He provides them according to His will and His plans and not ours.
Amen.
Amen. So faith is the means by which we open the door to the spiritual world. And it's the key, one of the key components to our spiritual growth that demands a response on our part. Then, if that's the case, the first question we need to ask is, what exactly is faith as the Bible defines it? So, in Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for,
right,
and the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. When is faith?
Now.
Now. Right now. It says now faith is. So faith connects us with that which our senses can't detect. Faith is a firm conviction about something we cannot see, hear, feel, taste, or touch. Amen? But which is nevertheless very real. Right? Faith brings the invisible realm into our spiritual view. So, I want you to take out a pen and I want you to write this practical definition down on faith. This is the practical definition of faith. Are you ready? Faith is acting like it's so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, just because God says so.
Okay. Now, come on.
Amen.
Faith is acting like it's so. Even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, just because God said so.
Can I use that?
Hey. So, let me say it again. Faith is acting like it's so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, just because God said so.
Amen.
Drop the mic.
Amen. Now, you may be saying, but this sounds like I'm supposed to pretend something is real when it isn't. That's not what I'm saying. This is not pretending.
Come on now.
Amen. We're talking about believing that what God says is true,
yeah,
even when no evidence is available.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the way you know you believe it is when you act on it.
That's good.
See, a good biblical example of that is in Romans. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. This is Abraham. It's a good biblical example of that.
Right.
In Romans chapter 4, verse number 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and call those things that be not as though they were.
Yes.
Amen. Even though Abraham and Sarah were in old childless couple. The Bible says that Abraham believed God.
Yes.
He believed in God who gives life to the dead and call those things that be not as though they were. See, Abraham had no child, and all of his human prospects was nil. Amen. But this is what he did. He acted like it was so, even when it was not so, so that it might be so, just because God said so.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. God, he said, God, I know whatever you speak, you're telling the truth. And I can stake my life on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. See, faith establishes what we think about God. And I'm afraid that many of us as children of God act like we have more confidence in ourselves than we do in him.
Mercy.
If faith is the action by which we lay hold to the power and promises of God, then if our faith is lacking, we can see the supernatural work of God at work, and we'll start trying to live in the natural. But faith, the faith heroes, that's in Hebrews chapter 11.
Right.
The wall of faith, the book of in Hebrews chapter 11. All these heroes were people who acted on what they said they believed. All those heroes, the ones that came before us, they acted on what they said they believed. Amen. For instance, Noah believed. You know, he believed God when God told him to build an ark. He got out a hammer and saw, and he began to what? Build that ark. Amen? And Abraham believed God when God told him to take his family and go to a land that I will show you. Abraham believed God and put a for sale sign up at his house in Ur.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Moses believed that he left Pharaoh's palace to identify with the Hebrew slaves.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They said... They don't. So you and I can't say you have faith and then we just sit right here.
Right.
I mean, someone can argue that people like Noah and Abraham and Moses had it easier than we do because God spoke to them directly. Well, God did speak to them directly, but it didn't make it any easier for them to obey God.
Right.
Amen. See, remember, Noah. When God told him to build the ark because rain was coming, Noah waited 120 years. He was out there banging nails and sawing wood for 120 years. There wasn't a raindrop in sight. Moses didn't get to see the Ten Commandments and get a chance to see that he was the deliverer of a whole nation. He didn't get to see that. Amen? So don't ever think that it was easier for other people to have faith than it is for you.
Right.
Amen?
We actually have an advantage over the earlier saints because we have the completed work of God.
Yeah.
Right here. Amen? And he speaks to us surely, just as surely as he spoke to those that came before us. But we still have to experience turbulences of life. Amen.
Amen.
It's just like, has anybody ever been on an airplane and then all of a sudden you get some turbulence?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And then all of a sudden the plane starts to shake and it may drop a few hundred feet. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden your heart starts to pound and I don't know about you, but your stomach may sink a little bit, you know. But then you remember how you felt when the captain came over to the intercom and he said, hey, that was no big deal.
Yeah.
You just hit a little turbulence. I'm going to just go a little higher and just fly around this prop.
A little higher.
Amen. Amen. He said he's going to fly a little higher.
Yeah.
Right? And fly right around this prop, right?
Yeah.
And it turned out that you were never in any danger at all.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Even though your five physical senses told you differently.
Amen.
Right? And then you had a choice. And your choice was to have faith in the captain or believe what you just saw and felt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And depending on that choice, you either sat here in your seat, gripped the armrest, all white knuckle, all tensed up, or you relaxed and enjoyed the rest of the trip. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Faith takes you and I beyond the limits of our five physical senses.
Right.
So that you believe that if God said it, then it's true. That's what faith is. Amen?
Amen.
Simply put, faith is acting like God is telling the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Now, along with faith meaning, it's also important to understand its mechanism, and by which I mean how faith works and what it does. Amen. Now, this is not to suggest that faith is some sort of mechanical process, but in its normal, how we normally use that word, but that the Bible gives us clues on how faith operates in our lives. And one of these clues on faith is buried in the middle of this passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. And I want us to look at this and read it together. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me know when you get there.
Amen.
Faith gives us, the Bible gives us these clues, and here's one. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," verse 16, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." Amen. So I want to just stop here for a minute and just kind of zero in on this, the last part of this phrase, where Paul prayed that we as believers would experience the Holy Spirit's power in our inner being, so that Christ can live in our hearts by faith. And what Paul was praying for here was, it goes beyond our salvation. This is beyond our salvation, amen? Although it's included. Because it was at your salvation, right, that Christ indwelled you and I. The moment that you said, "Yes, I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior, my Lord and Savior," Christ took up residence on the inside of you.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Now, but the word "dwell" in this passage means more than just to move in and take up residence. It means more than that. The word "dwell" means more than that here. It means to be at home.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
To make yourself comfortable. To spread out and to have the run of the house.
That's good.
Amen.
So Paul was praying that the Ephesian believers would allow Christ to have complete control of their lives, so that he can make himself at home in their hearts and produce growth and spiritual fruit through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. In other words, faith is not only the mechanism for which Christ comes into our lives, it's also the mechanism or means by which we give him the freedom to enter every room. Watch this now.
Yes.
To enter every room and do whatever he wants to do, including throwing out the old stuff and redecorating.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
See, when you're given the freedom to do that in someone else's house, you're definitely being welcomed and made to feel at home. Amen?
Yeah.
But when you don't feel at home, you aren't free to move around and your access is restricted. So, if you want to grow as a Christian,
yes,
Christ needs to be at home in your heart. Amen? And you make him at home by faith.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, here's a principle at work. And my wife loved to watch those home remodeling shows. Mm. Right? Now, there's one of those programs where people allow someone else to redo their homes, right? And one of those programs, they have two sets of friends. They agree to trade houses and redo a room in each other's place without any prior approval or agreement, right? The participants then give their house keys over to the host of the show, right? And she hands them over to the other parties, right? And these folks go in and they tear out the carpet, they take the pictures down, they pull the drapes down, they discard the furniture, they do some repainting, and they do whatever else they feel needs to be done. You hear what I'm saying? So giving others the key to your house and letting them tear out your kitchen fits my definition here of making yourself at home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm saying that to say this because if people can demonstrate that kind of faith
mm-hmm.
in other people,
yes.
why can't we allow Christ
come on
to make himself at home in our hearts by faith?
By faith.
If we can give, I mean, we readily give our keys to other people
mm-hmm.
to come in our house and do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then Christ, the Bible says that in Revelation, Christ, he stands at the door outside of your house
mm-hmm.
and he's knocking at the door waiting for you to give him an invitation.
Yes.
But we won't let him in.
Mercy.
But see, the thing with Christ, one thing is sure, is that we won't be unhappy with the results. Amen. As those people in these remodeling programs, amen. We can go back and see what their friends did in their home. You hear what I'm saying? And that's not ever a problem when we allow Christ to make himself at home in our hearts by an act of our faith. That's never a problem with Christ. See, we can give him the keys. We can give him the keys to our home and the keys to the home of our hearts. And he can decorate it with love and joy and peace and all the other fruits of the Spirit. Amen. And he can do the rewiring to tap in so that we can tap into the Holy Ghost power.
Yes.
Amen. That's what Paul was asking us to do. But then he goes on in that same passage,
mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 18, mm-hmm. and he says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, mm-hmm. to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God.
Amen.
This is the kind of spiritual growth we can anticipate when we make Christ at home in our hearts. Amen? Now, are you there?
Amen.
That's the kind of faith that we can have.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we know faith is unshakable, it's an unshakable conviction
mm-hmm.
about the unseen things of God that kicks into action as we give Christ control over our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can talk about faith measurements.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Because we know the scripture says that every man was given a measure of faith, right?
Right.
We're all given a measure of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, since faith is an action, are there ways that we can tell when we're growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ? Well, yes, there is. And I want to show you, a couple of them If we turn back to the book of James, are we getting this?
Yeah.
Amen. The book of James, chapter 2. And it's here that we can find a very practical yardstick for measuring the size of our faith. In James chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And James begins this discussion by posing this question, James chapter 2, verse number 14. Are you there?
Amen.
It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works, can faith save him? So I want to just say right up front that James is not talking about faith in terms of salvation. That's not what he's talking about here,
mm-hmm.
or how we are saved and get to heaven. But he's talking in terms of how we are to live here on earth. That's what he's talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he goes on to give his illustration in verse 15. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food,
mm-hmm.
and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give him the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? And then he makes this great statement right here in verse number 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Amen. So, say someone comes to us who's hungry. And we set this person down, and we have Bible study, and we show him all of God's promises to meet our needs according, to his riches and glory. We show him, and we pray for him, and then we send him on his way hungry.
Mm-hmm.
James just says, we just wasted our time. Amen. And see, I believe that a lot of Christians are wasting their time going to church because they hear the word of God with their ears,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't reach their hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're not doing anything about what they're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we out there?
Amen.
Amen. True faith will produce works because it's an action.
Right.
Amen. So if you want to measure your faith, look at the responses producing or failing to produce. It kind of reminds me of this story of this little farming community. And they had gone a long time without without any rain, and things were getting kind of desperate. So the minister of the community decided to call a prayer meeting, and he invited the whole town to come out to the town square and to bring all their religious symbols, right? So when the people came out to the town square, they, for the prayer meeting, they were carrying their Bibles and their crosses and their crucifixes and all their other religious items. And they all began to cry out to God for rain for quite some time, but nothing happened. So after a while, they all went home. But then the next day, a little boy went down to the town square. He was all by himself. And then he prayed this simple prayer. He said, "Dear God, send us rain. Show your power and send us rain." And as he was praying, the skies began to get dark and the thunder began to rumble and roar. And it began pouring rain. And the people in the town, they were glad for the rain, but they wondered what this little boy had done that they failed to do. I mean, after all, they had went to the town square, they had all their religious symbols, you know, and they prayed for rain. They said, what did this little boy do that we failed to do? Well, the difference they found out was that when this boy went to the town square to pray, watch this. He brought an umbrella.
Amen.
Amen.
He expected
answered
prayer.
Yes.
And he expressed it by his actions by bringing the umbrella, y'all.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? As well as the words that he spoke. So when you ask God for rain, take an umbrella.
Yes. Amen.
And we were just saying last week, Lord, open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Amen. I don't know about you, but I brought my umbrella.
Amen.
Amen. I'm expecting it to rain. I'm expecting it to rain.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? I'm expecting rain.
Yeah.
I'm expecting God to, according to the scripture you read last week in Deuteronomy 28, he says that it shall come to pass that if we will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, this day, he said he will rain down blessings upon you so great that they will overtake you.
Yeah.
Well, I got my umbrella. I'm expecting the rain.
Amen.
When you pray for rain, bring an umbrella.
Amen.
Believe what you said is going to come to pass. Wait a minute. Believe to receive what you said is going to come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. When I released it last week, I believed it.
Yes.
And I've been saying over and over and over again, and I'm going to continue to say it. If I'm out there all by myself on faith in left field, I don't care. But this is the thing. I said, I'm expecting God to produce every cent we need to put this building up.
Amen. Yes.
I believe it as soon as I release it.
Amen.
See, that's God. We got to have God type faith.
Amen.
We got to believe God. God says it. He said it in his word, didn't he?
Amen.
He said, if you bring your tithes and offering, I'll open up the windows of heaven. Lord, I'm bringing my tithes and offering.
Amen.
I'm expecting you to open up the windows of heaven.
Amen.
And pour me out a blessing. There will not be room enough to receive.
Amen.
Amen. God type faith.
Amen.
Have the faith of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about here. So, are you with me on that?
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? So, we reach for umbrellas when the forecaster says it's going to rain. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
You look at the news every morning. It's going to rain. Have you walk out, raincoats, umbrellas, right? Even though the forecasts are wrong half the time. But we often fail to act on the Word of God, which is never wrong.
That's good.
This Bible is the absolute truth.
Amen.
You can believe it and take it to the bank.
Yeah.
This is the absolute truth.
Yeah.
This is it right here.
Amen.
Amen. And we can believe people, places, and things, but we can't believe it. It's quiet.
Yes.
Mercy.
Man.
Good comeback.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We can believe people, but we can't believe what God says in His Word, and we know that He can do everything except faith.
That's right. That's right.
This Word, and that's what we have to get in our spirit. This Word is absolute.
Man.
This is absolute. If God said it, He can do it.
Yes.
Amen. In that same passage of scripture we looked at last week in Malachi chapter 3, we said, God goes on to say, He says, and in Malachi chapter 3:10, He says, and try me in this, says the Lord of hosts. If He says, and that is the only time in the Bible that He says to try Him, to test Him. So don't you think if He's telling you to test me in this area, don't you think He's going to do it?
Yes.
He's capable of doing it?
Yes.
No, we said earlier that one way to know we know Abraham's faith is real, was that he got up and left Ur, and he went to Canaan.
Right.
And James is making a point here that genuine faith produces actions that can be seen and measured. And he also turned to Abraham by picking a different incident in Abraham's life. So if we're looking at James chapter 2, verse 21, verse 21, it says, "Was not Abraham the father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" Do you see that faith was working together with works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And he was called the friend of God.
Yes.
Amen. Now, this was the offering of Isaac, and it was probably the single greatest act of faith that any human ever was asked to perform. You know, verse 21 again, it says, "Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar." Mm-hmm. Abraham believed God. Amen. And he had been justified earlier back in Genesis 15. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But God still wanted to see Abraham demonstrate his faith. And after the Lord stopped Abraham from killing Isaac, he said to him these words. He says, "Now I know that you fear God." That's what he said to him. Well, didn't God already know Abraham's faith was real? I mean, I have to believe that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But Abraham needed to know it too.
That's good.
Right? And the best way to learn that is what was to undergo a trial of faith.
That's good.
Right? To undergo a trial of faith. And this is why God often puts us in a catch-22 situation. See, some of us are in a catch-22 situation right now.
Yeah.
He's asking us, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? See, one of the things he wants to see is if we will trust him. And he wants us to see if we will trust him when he tells us to do something when it seems, you know, to make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I asked if you're not a tither to tithe, and I hit you with a double whammy. Then I said, not only am I asking you to tithe, right? But I'm also asking you to give over and above your tithes.
Yeah.
And I know some of you said, "Well, what in the world is Pastor asking me to do?" Mm-hmm. He's asking me to give an extra $100 a month on top of tithing. I'm not even tithing yet.
Come on.
I'm in the catch 22. But it's God also tries our faith so we can have the experience of walking through the trial and proving Him faithful. Right? So it's one thing to say we trust God, but it's another thing to be able to say, "I know God is real because I trusted Him in the fire and He brought me through." God loves to see us trust Him over our friends, over your feelings,
come on,
and over your own human logic. God says, trust Him. And one place where spiritual growth takes place is at this crossroad, where we're called to put our faith into action. I mean, don't you think Abraham's faith was strong Do you think Abraham's faith was stronger after seeing God spare Isaac? Do you think your faith will grow if, for instance, you gave sacrificially to care for those in need and then saw God activate his promises and supply your own needs according to his riches and glory? Did you have to wait to see that? Or are you going to just trust him?
Come on now.
See, God desires to take us higher. But he can only do that if he can fill you up with himself. Amen. And if he can't fill you up with himself until you trust him, then you aren't really trusting him until you are walking by faith instead of talking by faith. Amen.
Right.
If our faith never reaches our feet, then James says it's dead faith. So as I stand here today, asking you to trust God for everything that we need, don't you think God can do it?
Amen.
Can you just imagine every one of us in this congregation, one simple act of obedience, exercising our faith together, corporately. One simple act. God says, okay, I see their faith. I'm going to take them to the next phase. To the next level in me.
Amen.
One simple act of faith, we can all get on one accord. And I say this all the time. The people in Acts chapter 2,
yes.
And 2, 3, and 4, those people really, they really got it. They really understood it. Because the scripture says that they all got on one accord. And when they all got on one accord and they did what God told them to do, the Bible says that God added to the church daily.
Yes.
3,000 souls were saved one day when they got on one accord. And God added to the church. And they brought all that they had, right? They had all things in common, it says, and they laid it at the pastor's feet, and he distributed as they saw fit. No one in the church went without. Scripture says that none was lacking. And that's the God-type faith that we need to believe God for, that he'll supply all of our needs. God-type faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
It's going to take God-type faith, amen, to do what we've been asked to do. So I'm asking you to step out on faith. Amen? Step out on faith and give God your heart over to God so that he can go into your house, in every room, and enter in and be at home. And watch him supply all of our needs. Amen? Amen. Can you come and lead us in the word of prayer?
Praise God.